Welcome to another episode of The Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined with my good friend and co-host, Cody Frankel. We've got a good episode today and a great interview with Pete Blackfern from Bally Sports, but we do want to say right off the top of the episode that we are not in any panic mode. Cody and I are very relaxed. Everyone on Rangers Twitter seems to be freaking out a little bit, and we're going to be the voice of reason today. So, Cody, what's going on? I know you got to watch the Bruins game. I wasn't able to watch it. I played in a charity tournament all day Saturday, so I can't really speak to that game so much.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
Yeah, it was not the most fun game to watch, but that's okay. You know, we were down two guys, two very important guys on defense. The biggest thing I noticed is Igor just played okay. He didn't play, you know, he didn't play bad. He didn't play good, like great. You know, he just played okay. And you can get away with those kinds of things when you're playing teams like, you know, the Senators and the Red Wings, even though we just lost to the Senators, but Igor didn't play. But, you know, against teams like the Bruins, you got to be on the money. You know, you gotta make good saves and can't let stuff go through your legs. I mean, you know, there were a couple goals there that just he gave it to him. You know, you can blame the defense as much as you want because we were down, but I thought the team, like, all in all, played fine. They could play better for sure. And the biggest thing I noticed is GG, dude, he has to stop forcing Panarin and Kane. It's just not working. It's just not working. Like, you know, you can give him more time, you can not give him more time, whatever, but like you have 19 games left in the season. The Rangers are going nowhere if they don't figure out where Kane fits in this team. And, you know, Tarasenko is obviously meshing so well right now with his line. So, like, you know, you don't really want to screw up that chemistry. But, dude, the kid line hasn't been, like, they haven't been that, you know, prevalent and noticeable the last, I don't know, 5-6 games. Like,
not laughing.
I would argue. I mean, dude, he has 31 points. Like, I would argue throw Kane with, I don't know, throw him, like, swap some things up on that second and third line. Maybe leave the first line intact if you want. You got to leave Tarasenko and Mika together. I think that's like a given. But, dude, if you want to get creative, like, now's the time to do it. Figure it out over the next five games. Get that chemistry and get that going the last 10 games of the season. Because, dude, if they're struggling like this for another 4, 5, 6 games, they're not going to get it together in time. And that's not going to be good for us. So,
well, the kid line's been really quiet in the last 10 games. Alexi Lafreniere has 5 goals, 0 assists. Filippito has 0 goals and 4 assists. And Kaapo Kakko has 1 goal, 3 assists. So when the kid line's not going, it definitely does affect the team. But I do want to do a little fun experiment because I wasn't able to watch the game on Saturday, like I said before. But I did tweet out, didn't get to watch the Rangers today. Explain the game in 5 words or less. And there were 249 replies. So I want to read through some of these because some of them were fucking hilarious. Yeah.
Also, dude, our hair looks so floppy today. Both of our heads. Yeah.
Our boy Tommy Lay from Barstow, Chicago. Lafreniere statement game. Most of the answers were this. Jason DiPiero, Bruins are good at hockey. NYRocky93, a loyal listener of ours, just wrote shit. This person, no quit in New York, 2222. We suck now. There's just so many. It's the responses are hilarious. Here's another one. Bleeding blue, bleeding shades of blue. Panarin continuously forcing the puck. Huh?
I said, what about your boy, Thick Nash?
Yeah, I got to. Oh, my God, dude. That guy, we got to give a shout out to Thick Nash, man. He went off on Twitter. And he, so just for the backstory, last year in the Penguin series, the Rangers were down 3-1 in the series. And this guy, Thick Nash, just started tweeting at me. We become Twitter friends since. But he was like,
at you, dude, at us.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, he was like literally in my DMs, like chirping the fuck out of me.
Kill you.
Yeah, after I posted that video, like when we were down to 3-1, like how one thing can change a series.
Yeah.
If you remember that, but you know, he was saying like Igor sucks, like this whole team sucks. Like he is just the epitome of what being a New York sports fan is. When the team isn't doing well, you fucking hate them, and when they're doing great, you love them. So I actually do recommend following Thick Nash on Twitter just because. He is the, you know, I think the face of New York sports Twitter fans or whatever that phrase would be. Yeah. it's a lot of humor because he freaks the fuck out when the Rangers don't win, and right. You know, he's been in one the last day or so.
That guy cracks me up because you know, when the Rangers are doing well, he's like, yeah, you guys just never wrong. And then it's like, you know, they get blown out 5-3 by the Senators or whatever it is, and it's like all hell breaks loose. But you're right. Dude, it's the classic sports fan. I mean, it's the same thing with like me being a Jets fan, right? You know, the Jets will have a good game. I mean, I'm not comparing the Rangers to the Jets because the Rangers are either fucking Rangers and the Jets are the Jets. But, you know, classic Jets fans like myself, you see one good game or by QB, you're like, yo, we're back. We're fucking going. And then, dude, the second it's like you get blown out, it's just like all hell breaks loose. But it's, you know, it's the classic New York fan. You love to see it. You hate to see it.
I'm just going to read the two tweets that I interacted with from him. Here's the first one. I'm glad you think it's funny that this team is hot fucking garbage. They have no heart, no desire, no will to win, and no identity. They're a collection of talent and not a team. They'll be lucky to make the playoffs, and if they do, they're getting swept easily, all caps.
Okay.
I quote-tweeted that, so I'm saving this for April.
Dude, this might be crazy, but I don't think he's wrong about the no identity. I don't think he's wrong. I think this team right now does not have an identity. They're going in all different ways. And, you know, you can point to Trouba, you know, be playing like shit and being the captain, whatever. I personally put the way the Rangers are playing and, you know, whatever on Gallant. I think he's not getting creative enough right now. I think you need to kind of pressure him a little bit because, you know, he got too comfortable. He got these stars. He's like, oh, I'm you know, I'd be crazy if I'm not going to put this guy with this guy, whatever. But like, dude, it's not working. You need to figure it out. And then, you know, obviously the Keandre Miller situation, you couldn't foresee that. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. But I would argue like the last like 15, 20 games, like, you know, you got to get a little more creative and figure some things out there.
So I don't think he's so wrong and you know, agreeing with you on what he said, but to your point about the team finding identity, it's been two games. Like, it's going to happen. Like, Kane hasn't even practiced with the team yet. This is his first
week. I'm not talking about them trading for Kane or Tarasenko. Dude, they were kind of on a cold streak they've been on a cold streak for, you know, 10 games or so now.
They're like 4-5-1 in their last 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and you know, those six losses, like four of them are against bad teams. Like, that's not fucking good. So I think what I'm referring to is clearly something's up. Something's not working. I think it's important to keep Lafreniere and Hedl together. Dude, if I'm Gallant, I'm throwing Kako online too. And I'm throwing or whatever you want to do and put Kane with the two kids or I don't know. I don't know what it is or, you know, I think they need to do something. Some creative there with lines 2 and 3 or if you want to move Kreider, you can move Kreider too. I think it's obvious you need to keep Lof and you need to keep Hedl together and then you need to keep Tarasenko and you need to keep Mika together. I think those other six spots, you could play around with that any way you want. If you want to keep Panarin and Trocheck together because they have chemistry too, fine. But then you have three spots right there where you can really do some damage and mix some things up. And I think they have to do that. And also, they need to be better on the fucking power play. Like they need to be better on the power play. They're middle of the pack on the PP. They're middle of the pack on the PK. Like this is a team who was top five in the league last year in both or right around there. They need to figure that out. That was their strength last year. Remember how many games you and I went through and were like, this team would have lost, I don't know, 30 games if they didn't score, weren't automatic on the power play.
Yeah.
Not automatic on the power play now. So
no, I completely agree. But to your line point, I don't think you can play Kane with Lafreniere and Hedl just because
I was just giving an example.
No, of course. But I think you're not the only one saying that. I think a lot of people have said that. But you know, Gallant has talked about it a lot this year that he thinks when the kids like Kako, Hedl, Lafreniere are playing with like the Zibanejads or Kreiders or Panarins, they defer to those guys because, you know, they're somewhat intimidated of playing with these bigger names, you know, on their line. Like if Lafreniere and Hedl are playing with Patrick Kane, you don't think they're going to try to get him the puck with every chance they get?
Bro, you're right, but call me crazy. Call me crazy. Dude, I'm going Kane, Mika, Tarasenko on line one. I'm putting Kane.
Well, who are you putting Tarasenko on left wing? Because Kane plays right wing. They both play right wing.
They could both play left wing too. If you play the wing, you play the other wing.
Yeah, but Kane is better on his offside because he always likes to pull up and cut back.
So that's throw Tarasenko on there, bro. Go Tarasenko, Mika, Kane. Line two, throw on Panarin, Trocheck. If you want to do Kako, that's fine. Do Laffy, Hedl, Kreider. Figure something out. Like something like that. Like I think that line would be fucking insane. I think it's past the point where like you're trying to go skill with skill, whatever. Dude, go pure talent, go pure power, like throw Kane on line one and like let the damage happen there. Because, you know, I mean, and then you obviously have the power play where you need to figure stuff out too, and they need to figure out that recipe because they have too many good players now. It's like, you know, they're not going to boot Fox off the power play and go 5-0. So, you know, they need to figure out who's the odd man out there. Yeah, they just need to figure that out, and they need to do it quick. I think it's insanely important that they do it quick.
I really do think when Miller and Lindgren are back, it's a different story. You know,
sure. I mean, listen,
two of the top defensemen on the team.
Here's the problem, though. Here's the problem. Because we lost yesterday, and we're recording this on Sunday, the narrative's written now. We went 0-3 against the Bruins this year. The narrative's written. They're the better team than us right now.
Well, they've always been.
You know, yeah.
They're the best team in the league. There's no doubting that.
So, you know, you have Keandre, you have Lindgren. Yes, playoffs are an entirely different story, but dude, Igor is not playing up to Ullmark right now. He's not even close. And I think it's important that he gets right and does whatever he does. Cause look at Vazzy, dude. Vazzy didn't have a great year last year. I mean, he still had a good year, but he didn't have the spectacular year he normally has. Come playoffs, he got right in it, dude, and was a wall and was elite. And I think it's really important that Igor does that. Igor, right now the narrative's changed, and Igor still controls our fate. I think we go as Igor goes, right? So, like I said, we go as Igor goes. But before we get into some fan questions, I want to talk about one of our great sponsors, BioSteel. BioSteel is taking the sports hydration industry by storm. You've probably seen them hydrating pretty much every NHL bench all season long. Not to mention, they've been hydrating Connor McDavid since this guy was a toddler. Just kidding, since he was 12. Why is BioSteel preferred by the pros and, you know, us regular podcast folk on the Blue Crew? Well, they have zero sugar, 5 essential electrolytes, and great taste. It's clean, healthy, and hydration. If you want to get in on BioSteel now at a discounted rate, you could use our code and get 20% off. It's Blue Crew 25, all caps, BLUECREW 25, all caps for a limited time. Get 20% off, and any orders above $45 will get free shipping as well. Let's go BioSteel. Back to the show.
I've actually been using the mixed berry hydration mix, and it's been great. I use it after every gym sesh. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I actually haven't even opened mine yet, and I can't. Mm-hmm. I like my new one, the peach mango, and I can't wait. I was staring at it today, and I'm like, I'm opening you tomorrow. So what do you do? You have it after each gym?
Yeah, and I actually I don't know if you know this, Cody. I'm an Equinox member now. I joined last week.
Whoa.
I splurged.
Whoa.
I know.
What rate did they fucking suck you in at?
I actually became friendly with a guy who works at Equinox, so I got a little bit of a discount, but I'm paying $270 a month, which is definitely a lot of money.
Did you just say $270? Did you just try and say that's a discount?
Well, I mean, there's usually an initiation fee.
Are you one gym or
no? I can go everywhere besides Hudson Yards.
Okay. So you got a discount. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I was paying $100 a month at the gym I was, you know, currently at, and it was so crowded every day, no matter what time you were at. There were no amenities. I figured just pay the extra $170, use the steam room every day. Like I've steamed like 5 times this week already. My skin's glowing. I feel great.
I actually don't steam enough, but
you should.
I mean, I shower there every day, obviously. But mine's $260. But I used to go to Crunch. Crunch is actually pretty good too, believe it or not. Like
Crunch is a mile away from me. It's like a 20-minute walk.
Oh yeah, there's one on my block. Yeah. I do love Equinox. Obviously, the amenities are unreal, but it's, you know, Crunch, I can get Jackie's discount, get it at like $60-70 a month.
Yeah.
And I can get all access. So I'm like considering maybe when the year ends, like, I don't know, but I really do like Equinox. It's, you know, it's great. It's the equipment's premium and all that stuff. But, all right. Enough with the Equinox ad.
I felt kind of bougie walking in there the first time. You're like, but whoa. Yes. So after Equinox, I get home and I pour a glass of water and I put in the mix it yeah. and I just chug it. Hydrates you.
Why do you chug it?
Well, I just, I don't know, but like feels good after the workout. But let's go into the fan questions. Our first one is from Perry Kunavelis. Is Lindgren one of the most important pieces on this team? Without him, the record is awful. I don't know if we could find the record, actually. We should probably pull up that stat.
Yeah, I mean, we've said, you know, if you've listened to our show for a while, you know, I have said for a long time, Lindgren is the catalyst of this defense. I still believe that. I think the defense runs through him. And, you know, it allows Fox to play better. I think he's definitely an important part of this team. But, you know, they have some tough decisions this summer, so we'll see if he's still a part of this team. But yeah, without him, this record is trash. I remember when he got hurt at the end of last year and in playoffs, it wasn't ideal.
So per StatMuse, and I don't know how up to date this is, the New York Rangers have a 37-50-15 record without Ryan Lindgren all time.
Yeah, that's 37-65. That's garbage. Yeah. That's garbage. Oh man.
So yeah, he's pretty important. You know, and Cody has been saying that for a very long time, that he is like the defensive catalyst. You know, he just makes the blue line so much more tough and, obviously a big guy in the penalty kill. So definitely need him back as soon as possible. Let's go on to the next one from JT Pranito. Not a question, but they need to bring back Anthemist John Brancy for the postseason. I actually did see John tweet that he's going to be back on March 14th and then he'll be doing, you know, more games from that date. So yeah. Look for John Brancy in the near future. And then JT had a follow-up question. How will Kane's playoff experience benefit the Rangers?
Immensely. Immensely. This guy has hundreds of points in the playoffs. How many points does he have in the playoffs?
In 136 playoff games, Patrick Kane has 52 goals and 80 assists for 132 points.
In how many playoff games?
136.
Yeah, so he's a point-per-game player. I think that's freaking insane. Again, I think it's about finding chemistry with this team. He's always been a Blackhawk. You know, he's played two games already and hasn't really found that niche yet. I think he will. I think he will.
Mm-hmm. I also just think he'll be that, you know, cool, calm, and collected voice in the locker room when things mm-hmm. might get tough. You know, I think last year it was clear that Trouba was the guy that stepped up in playoff time. And,
yeah.
You know, let's say the Rangers are down a goal or two. It could be Patty Kane that, you know, sparks that comeback with a big goal. So I, you know, it's hard to kind of say right now, but as time goes on, I think we'll see what Patrick Kane can really contribute to this team.
Yeah. He doesn't have a point yet, right?
No, he's like -4, 0 points.
Yeah.
Like 3 or 4 shots on goal. Not a great stat line. Not a good first 2 games for Patty Kane. You can't sugarcoat it. Yeah. Let's go to the next one from Brian Hall.
Fucking sick though.
Yeah. Brian Hall, 73. Do you think that with the 4 days of practice, Kane will develop chemistry with the team? I think that's an obvious yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be huge for him because I wouldn't be surprised if Kane is the first guy on the rink all 4 days. I would not be surprised if he's there early all 4 days getting in shots. You know, Panarin loves to come early. Panarin will probably go with him. They'll develop chemistry. So, you know, I hope they make me look like fucking idiots from what I just said before and go off. I hope they go off together and develop that chemistry, quite frankly. But
well, yeah, I mean, it's a big thing that Kane wasn't able to practice before playing 2 games, you know, like no familiarity, you know, had never really been on the ice with a lot of those guys. So it takes time to develop chemistry. I think, you know, Tarasenko was somewhat similar, but he did have the familiarity with Panarin, you know, playing on Team Russia together. I know Kane and Panarin have played in the Blackhawks together, but that was like 7 years ago. So we'll see. I think in time, the chemistry will certainly develop.
Yeah.
Next question from 4Lives. Can anyone beat the Bruins?
Here's what I'll say about that. I think that there are certain teams in the East that would be a really bad matchup for them. By bad matchup, do I mean they can beat them? No. I don't know. Maybe they can. Playoffs, anything can happen, especially in hockey. But I think a couple teams like, you know, Toronto, for example, I think Toronto would be a really bad matchup for the Bruins. Obviously, you know what's going on with Toronto. So hopefully that matchup happens in the second round when, you know, Toronto has that curse kind of lifted off of them. I think Carolina would be a really tough team for the Bruins. And I think New Jersey would be a really tough team for the Bruins because I think the Bruins would have trouble keeping up with their pace. just like kind of the Rangers do. So do I think we can beat them? It depends. It really does. It's about finding that chemistry. If we don't find that chemistry, like, no, I don't think we can. I don't think we're going to beat them four games. But you know, my hope is somebody else takes them out. I think if somebody else takes them out, we'll be in really good shape. They are going to be a tough team to beat. And I was wrong about saying they're frauds, because they're not. They're fucking not. So
it seems like it's going to be, I mean, with the way Tampa Bay is playing right now, I don't see them winning a playoff round. Obviously, I don't want to, you know, consider the three-time defending Eastern Conference champions out of the mix, but like right now, I think they're great. What
if they got matched up with the Bruins first round and beat them?
Well, I don't think that's necessarily, it's not impossible, but they're like 8 points ahead of the two wildcard teams. I don't see them dropping that much. Like, I think right now it's pretty much solidified that they're going to play Toronto in the first round. But I do
Why?
Think
Toronto. Penguins? Why would they play Toronto over the Penguins?
It's a 2-3 in the Atlantic.
Bruins are the one, bro.
We're talking about
Toronto. You're talking about Tampa. Okay.
I'm talking about Tampa. Talking about,
got you.
No, I'm talking about Tampa. I think Tampa and Toronto are locked for round one, essentially. But Tampa in their last 10, they're 3-4-3, and they're probably going to lose again right now as we're talking. They're down 4-0 to Carolina. And Vasilevsky has been in goal for most of those games. Tampa's road record is 15-15-1, and it's going to be 15-16-1 after this game. I don't know if they can beat Toronto in a first-round series right now. I think what I'm rooting for is a Rangers-Maple Leafs conference final. I think that would be not only so good for the league, but it's also a great matchup for the Rangers, and it'd be a fun-as-shit seven-game series or six-game series. I don't think it's going to go five, but I would think that'd go six or seven.
Yeah, you want to know a scary stat, dude? The Devils are the best road team in the league.
Yep.
They're 22-4-4, better than the Bruins, 23-6-2.
Also, though, the thing with the Bruins, man, look at their goal differential.
Yeah, it's insane.
Plus 105.
Yeah, it's insane. It's double. It's triple us. Literally over triple us.
That's absurd. Like, yeah, that's what separates them.
Pasternak scores two goals every game. It's the craziest thing of all. I mean, you know, he deserves that contract that he just got. But here's the cold, hard facts. Like, I think if the Rangers, and I will stand by this until the day I fucking die, this year, if the Rangers develop that chemistry and they figure it out, I don't see anybody stopping them. Like, the talent on that team, if they put it to use, if every single guy puts their specific talent to use, and yes, I know Trouba hasn't been playing well, but he could be aggressive. He could, you know, set the tone, things like that. Like, every guy puts their own skills to use. Like, the Rangers will be a force to reckon with, and they will be just fine. However, there's 20 games left this season, under 20 games left. They need to figure it out immediately. And that's that.
If I had to put $10,000 on it, Boston or Rangers, I'm taking Boston every time right now.
Right now, sure, as it stands. But but if the Rangers in the last 19 games go, you know, 14-5 and get this crazy chemistry going, like, that changes things. That changes things. So, you know, and I think for them, the most important thing is, like, you got to be fully healthy going into playoffs, because they've had a little, you know, they've had a little nagging injuries here, there, you know, the suspension, things like that. So they need to be healthy in these last 19 games, you know, get to call up their guys and get cooking.
All right, let's go to the next one from Marky Ben. Are you concerned with the goalie situation? The rotation does not make sense.
Concerned with the rotation. I'm much more concerned with Igor's play. You know, Halak obviously had two kind of rough games the past two games, but like, the defense left him out to dry a little bit here and there, whatever. For me, I'm way more concerned about Igor.
Was he that bad against Boston?
He was pretty,
that was a lot of the discourse.
Dude, he was pretty fucking bad. Yeah. It was like two of the goals. They scored two goals in like 2 minutes when it was 2-1. And I just, like, you know, one went right through his glove. And I was like, dude, he needs to figure out his stuff. I think he knows he's not right. And I would look for this week, these 4 days, this is going to be the 4 days where he is going off and, you know, practicing every single day and trying to work out the kinks with, you know, King Benoit. So let's have our fingers crossed and hope that Igor gets it right. So,
all right, this next one's a good one from Sirico19. The negativity on Twitter is unbearable. I'm really not worried. What about you guys?
Yeah, dude, do what I do. Turn off your notifications and go on Twitter once a day and get Johnny to yell at you three times a day.
I love Twitter. The negativity on Twitter is not something I'm not used to. But yeah, I mean, listen, I was just scrolling through yesterday and I saw a lot of opinions. So I just wanted to have fun and like say, explain the game in five words or less. But I'm not worried at all about this team. You know, obviously, I think these things do take time. Like, you know, last year after the deadline, things kind of clicked a couple games in. It wasn't like right off the bat. But, you know, I do think this week off, the next couple weeks are a little bit light, but then the games do pick up and there's a lot of games against the Penguins. You know, those games will be intense. I think the Rangers play the Penguins like three times in a week, which should be really exciting. But I'm not worried. I do think as we ramp up here, the you know, the emotion and everything is just going to come out. It's hard to really say because it's all hypothetical. But what were you saying, Cody?
I just want to read a tweet real quick from one day ago. I am incredibly worried about the Rangers. Their play is abysmal. If the Bruins win the cup, I'll kiss my dad on the lips, from Johnny Lazarus.
Well, the first part, that wasn't true. But the second part is true. I did say, if the Bruins win the cup, I'll kiss my dad on the lips. Because I do think at some point adversity is going to hit them. And
dude, totally. I think, yeah. I think they're a very good team. I still think if the matchups go our way and we don't have to face them, I like our chances better than theirs. But if we get matched up against them in round two, I think that could be a tough look for us, and we're going to need to, you know,
well, it'd probably be the conference final. I don't think we could play them in the second round.
Why? We're going to be anywhere between 4 and 6 seed. We would play them in the second round.
I think we'd play the first seed in the Metro. We'd probably play Carolina unless Carolina gets bounced or the Devils get bounced.
No, I thought it's, dude, I don't even know because hockey changes their fucking rules every year, but
it's division.
I thought it was 2-3. They made a division now?
Dude, well, it's always been division. So, like,
yeah, I guess you're right.
Carolina wins the first round, they're in first right now. We'd play Carolina if we won the first round.
Yeah.
Just like Boston would play the winner of Tampa and Toronto.
Listen, they got to get through Toronto, they got to get through Tampa. So,
yeah.
I like our odds to get through. You know, I'm not afraid of Carolina anymore. Like, Carolina doesn't scare me. I think we match up really well against them. The team on our side, obviously, that scares me is the Devils, because I think their pace is really fast. But
yeah,
I'll go with our experience over theirs and, you know, our squad over theirs any day of the week. So,
mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the next one from Bam Daniels. Are we appreciating Lauf playing a style closer to Kreider than super skilled winger?
It's a good question, John. Mm-hmm. You want to take that one?
Yeah, I think we kind of said it last year in the playoffs that you're not used to a number one overall draft pick playing such a physical game like Lafreniere does at certain points. He's not super consistent with it, mm-hmm. but I thought he's had a lot of jump in his step lately. He's been back checking really well also. You know, I think he's caused a lot of turnovers, looking better defensively. And, you know, he was super physical in that Penguins series last year. Not as much, I think, you know, in the second round against Carolina, but obviously we saw him fight Stamkos in the conference final too. You know, Laffy definitely has more of that like muck and grind kind of game to him than he doesn't. And Patrick Kane, that's also something Kane said in his press conference too. He said, you know, it's really exciting to come to a young team. Not only will they learn from me, but I'll learn from them too, right? Like, these young guys play with a ton of physicality that you're not used to guys like Patrick Kane, you know, playing with, because Kane has never really been more of a physical guy. I think it's, you know, it's a great thing. And people want to, you know, give Lafreniere shit because he just tied his career high in points of like 31. But, you know, he's not the first line, first power play, super skilled guy that most, you know, NHL teams see with the first overall pick. So,
yeah,
you know, I think it's good to embrace that kind of play.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing right now. If you look at, you know, how everything's going right now, Lafreniere and Kako are both on pace to hit 40 points this season. Right now, Kako has 32. Lafreniere has 31. There's 19 games left.
It's not something to brag about, though.
No, I think it is. I think it is. I think 40 points is like, you know, 40 points is what people kind of consider like, that's a good player, right? Okay, these kids are fucking 22 and 21 years old. You give them another year, that 40 turns into 50.
I just think it's so tough to say that's good, though, with what Jack Hughes is doing.
I mean, dude, but that's comparing apples to oranges. You're comparing him to a guy like, dude, Jack.
Not
Hughes,
really, though. It's a number one overall pick, and then a number one number
matter.
Two.
Doesn't matter, because Jack Hughes came into an entirely different situation. His team has zero stars. His team has no stars. He is the star. We have right now. I mean, if you want to minus Kane, if you want to minus Tarasenko, fine. Dude, Panarin, Fox, Mika, Kreider, like, I would say all four of those guys are better than any one of the Devils players before they had Hughes. So it's a very, very different situation. And it's the same thing with, like, you know, I know Matty Beniers is number two pick on Kraken, whatever. Shane Wright's one, whatever. It's the same situation, man. If Lafreniere or Kako were in a different situation somewhere else, dude, they'd have significant power play one time. They'd have significant more ice time. They'd probably be on line one or line two minimum, not line three. It'd be a different situation, man. And I think for what they got, I think this is a huge step for both of them. And, you know, they got to build on it, right? Like, dude, they're so young. I mean, you give them another year, let them cook for another year. Like, I could see Lafreniere hitting 50 points next year. And would you be mad if by age 22 he's at 50 points? Like, no.
No, not at all. Listen, that was a great point and a great argument, and I do agree with you. But for the general perspective of NHL fans,
sure,
it's really hard to, like, say Kako and Lafreniere are doing great when Jack Hughes and, like, Tim Stutzel.
Great's the wrong word. They're not doing great. Dude, good.
Also, Tim Stutzel's fucking sick,
dude. Tim Stutzel can eat a bootsla. All right,
he's sick.
All right, next question.
Let's go to Sorkin Matthew, and this is for you, Cody, because I didn't watch. Would you have benched Panarin in the third?
I want to say no. I want to say you can't. He can't drag. He can't be a drag in the third period. He's still got to, you know, show his energy, and he's got to hustle, and he's got to move around. He's got to make plays. Like, you know, he can't kind of, like, waver there. So, yeah, I would say no. I think Gallant made, you know, like I said, Gallant needs to be in these last 19 games, as big of a test as it is for this team to get right. It's a very big test for him as well. I think it's really important that, you know, they go into the playoffs with complete confidence. And I watched the game last night with a buddy in Long Island, and he straight up asked me, he's like, did we make the wrong move hiring Gallant? Like, does this guy just not know what he's doing? And I don't think it's so much that he doesn't know what he's doing. I think, like, this is the most talented team he's ever had. And he has all this skill now. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's his job. Like, Drury did the master work getting these guys here. And now it's Gallant's job to take each player. Like, if you're using a basketball analogy, right? Gallant's the point guard. Now he needs to kind of set it up for every other player to really get it together and you know, go full steam ahead. So I think they just need to figure it out. Yeah.
No, I mean, I didn't watch, but I agree with what you said. Let's go to the next one. This is another good one. Sammy Hockey 36. Which team is better, the 2013-14 Rangers or the 2022-23 Rangers?
This team, because one, that team I'm pretty sure was like the sixth seed, and nobody expected them to make a run that year. They were very talented, sure. They had Henrik Lundqvist, sure, but nobody expected them to go on that cup run as the, you know, the sixth seed. I think they were the sixth seed, right?
They were four. They were four because they had home ice in the first round. Yeah, against
the Kings were the eighth seed, right? Kings were the eighth seed, which was
the Kings were the eighth seed when they won in 2012. 2014, I'm not sure what they were.
They were, well, we had home ice.
Yeah.
To start. So they were worse than four. Okay, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I think this team is better. I just think it's different, right? The move then was you traded for Marty St. Louis, he came right in and played pretty well. Right now, we traded for these guys way earlier. We have them for a couple more games. Tarasenko finally found his groove. Now you need, you know, Mikola, Kane, and Mott to, like, find theirs. Like, Mikola played fucking terrible yesterday. I mean, he did not have a good game at all. And I think, you know, this guy he's not going to be a point guy, but, you know, he needs to show something and be that lockdown defenseman, especially when we have D-men out. So, yeah, it's just about figuring this shit out, but I think we're the better team. What do you think, Johnny?
I mean, I think it's night and day. Like, yeah. I think this team is so much fucking better than that team. With that being said, though, like, that team might accomplish more than what this team could just because Henrik Lundqvist was the difference. Like, you know, I looking at stats, like, I think the leading point scorer I'm pulling up right now, Matt Zuccarello had 59 points in 77 games that year. That was the leading scorer for the Rangers, leading point scorer. Derek Stepan was behind him at 57, and Brad Richards was after that with 51. Rick Nash that year had 39 points. Like, this team fucking shits on that team, if you ask me, skill-wise. Like, in no way, like, would Matt Zuccarello even sniff the top six on this team, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know, I think right now this team has so much skill they have to find a way to put it together, and I think they will.
Okay.
You know, I really do. But I do think, like, it's crazy when you look at the rosters, you know, from this year's team to that 2013-14 team. Like, they really overachieved. Let's go into the next one, and this is the last one from Anthony Governale 19. Even with this amazing roster, why do I feel like the Devils' first round will be a long nail biter?
It for sure will. It for sure will. That series is going six or seven games. It is going six or seven games. It's going to be freaking electric. And we better get our shit together. We're going to be in trouble. That's it.
I think I'm actually going to make a statement that I feel like a lot of Ranger fans are thinking but are afraid to say out loud. And you might agree or you might disagree. I'm curious to your thought. I am now in the point where I think I'm rooting for the Devils to win the Metro and have us play Carolina in the first round because I would like to see the Devils win a playoff round. I think it'd be fun, but I also don't want to fucking lose to them in the first round. And I think our best chance to get to play them would be to win a round, feel confidence in the playoffs, and then take them on. I think we play them in round one. It's a little more iffy, but I think if they win a round against Carolina and then play the Devils, I'd be way more confident. Because just think about it too. Like, not only would it suck if the Rangers don't win a round with this team, it would suck 100,000 times more having the Devils be the team that knocked them out.
Well, here's the thing. One, that could be a reality where the Devils do win the Metro, and I'm good with that. I'm good with that because no matter when you play the Devils, like I said earlier, their record is their away record's the best in the league. But
well, I'd also have I'd rather have us win the Metro, obviously.
Well, listen. If you're playing the Devils, dude, both away and home are home games. Away and home are home games. So that's to our advantage for sure. Because I mean, Rangers fans are louder than Devils fans a hundredfold. So it's not a bad idea. Like, it's not a bad idea to get in mind. But right now, like, realistically, I mean, dude, we're 9 points behind the lead. Like, we're not winning the Metro. I mean, it's just not happening unless we go on. We would have to go on, like, a 17-2 tear. You know, making up that much ground, like, 4.5 games in the last 20 games of the season is not an easy thing to do. With all that, we need to find a way to stay in that 2-3 and not fall out into the wild card. That's very important. And, you know, get it going. Get it going.
That's going to wrap it up for fan questions. And before we send it over to Pete Blackburn, I do want to take a second to talk about our sponsor, Allbirds. Allbirds, since I've gotten the shoe, the Wool Runners, I have not taken them off. I literally wear them every single day. They're super comfortable. You can wear them to work out. You can wear them to go for a leisurely walk. You can wear them outside on a hike. They're literally the perfect shoe for everything, including going out. I'm actually, Cody, I didn't tell you this yet. I might be going on my first ever Hinge date this week.
Whoa.
And, yeah, I know. And I'm going to be wearing my Allbirds to that. So I will report back on that next episode. But before that, don't forget to get your Allbirds. Go to www.allbirds.com and use our code BlueCrewSocks. And it comes with a free pair of socks if you do purchase anything over $99, which would be a pair of the Wool Runners. So go to Allbirds.com and check those out. But with all of that, I think we should send it over. Yeah, they're awesome. They really are. I think we should send it over to our boy, Pete Blackburn. This week on the Blue Crew, we're very happy to welcome back a recurring guest, one of the funniest motherfuckers on hockey Twitter and hockey media. He covers the NHL for Bally Sports. Welcome back to the show, my friend Pete Blackburn. Pete, what's going on?
What's going on? Happy to be here, especially with that lovely intro. I appreciate it. That's very kind of you.
That actually might be the first time I've cursed introducing somebody. I did get cursed out by Scotty Gomez when I introduced him a couple weeks ago, but that was a different story. But I do want to start this off with an apology, because I tweeted a quote that I heard on the Jeff Marek show about how this year's NHL trade deadline, they usually call it Christmas Day, but it's been more like 8 crazy nights because the trades have been insane for the last week. I then saw your tweet that you kind of had that original Adam Sandler joke. So I want to owe you the apology to your face. And I mean, just explain from your perspective, you know, as someone who covers the NHL trade deadline very closely and very specifically, you're on the Daily Fantasy NHL trade deadline show today. You know, what are your overall thoughts? Are you happy with how it went, or was it just too much chaos, or as you put it, cocaine circus?
First of all, no apology necessary. it was an easy joke to make, but yeah, no, I think that anybody who complains about the lack of action today on Friday, like the actual deadline day itself, is crazy because like we had a full week plus 2 weeks of movement and we didn't have to wait until today to get all of our action in. And sometimes like on deadline day, so much crap happens in like the last hour that you can't even fully appreciate it. You can't even fully like break it down because you're just moving on to the next thing. So like as somebody who works in the space and as somebody who's like a fan of hockey and of this kind of movement and this kind of action, being able to spend a good amount of time breaking down each big move and then getting on to the next one and having it go over like a week of time rather than one day, I'll take that every time.
And now let's ask, you know, Bruins bias aside, what was your favorite trade to, I guess, break down or, you know, the most intricate one that you found interesting?
Well, I mean, like in a bigger picture sense, like the Jacob Chychrun trade, we've been waiting for that for like 18 months, right? And we'd kind of been following it and he'd been held out of the lineup for about 2 weeks. So it was a weird soap opera to follow. And then when you arrive to the finish line and you see what he goes for after the Coyotes said that, hey, we're not going to rush into a deal. We're okay hanging on to this guy if the right trade doesn't come along. Is a conditional first in 2 seconds the right deal? Is that a deal that you absolutely could not say no to? especially after Philip Peronic went for more earlier in the day? Like, that was crazy to me. And it's another example of why people shit all over the Coyotes. And I love going to bat for that market. I want to see hockey succeed in that market because it is fun and there is a place for it, but it's also kind of, you know, you have to look at it from a bigger perspective where it's like, yo, this team is a joke and they are just essentially money laundering at this point. They play in a college building.
Which you thrived in, by the way.
It was awesome. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the market is so fun. And, like, if you do it right, it's going to be a party. Mm-hmm. But when your organization exists essentially only to operate as, like, a brokerage and you're putting together some of the worst on-ice product that you've seen in a long time, you're not paying players, like you're taking a worse deal for Chychrun because you didn't want to retain salary just because you're so cheap and you don't have money coming in, like that's an unserious franchise, especially in comparison to the rest of the 31, and it's tough to defend at this point.
And the funniest part about them this year is that obviously they should be tanking for Bedard to save the franchise. And they won when they only lost one regulation game in February or something like that. Like, they were on a winning streak. The GM must have been pissed.
They're not even good at tanking.
Yeah. they can't do anything right.
They're trying to put together the worst quality product that they can, and they're still winning some games. So, you know, I can defend the tanking. I can defend like a lot of the stuff that they've done leading up to this, but the Chychrun thing was and what they've done at this deadline is just overtly being just we're getting to the cap floor and we're trying not to spend as much money as we can.
Mm-hmm. I also haven't seen any updates on Chychrun. Was he okay after last night? Because that was wild too. Like, to see him go down in the first game after all that, you know.
Dude, I was almost devastated. If he had gotten hurt, seriously hurt, like it looked like a serious knee injury at first glance. Right, and he you could see like kind of like the frustration on his face where it was like he thought that it was maybe a big deal. And then he skates off under his own power. He returns to the game. You know, plays out the rest of it. Hopefully he's completely fine. But if he had suffered a knee injury in his first game escaping Arizona, I probably would have cried for his sake.
I think anyone, like any hockey fan, would have just been upset for him. That sucks. I don't want to do too much trade deadline stuff, but, you know, because this is going to come out Monday, so we're a little bit past the deadline. But I do want to say, like, is there anything in your mind that's like a tired Wired, you know, like that whole storyline, how, you know, people say Edmonton doesn't have the goaltending get over the hump. Like, is that, you know, bullshit now? Can they figure it out with Jack Campbell, you know, after they added Nick Bjugstad and, you know, who else did they add? The defenseman, right?
Yeah, they got Matthias Ekholm.
Yeah.
Matthias
Ekholm. You know, so are you now somewhat of an Oilers believer? Like, are there other storylines that you're now buying into, or is there still some, you know, I'm just, you know, the Oilers were an example. Like, I guess, is there a team right now where you think they went from an actual, you know, mid-level team to somewhat of a playoff contender, especially in this Eastern Conference?
I mean, the Rangers would be one of them. Like, the Rangers had a lot of flaws, and, you know, I was worried about them. I still am worried about them defensively and stuff, but obviously when you add guys like Tarasenko and Kane and Mott, like, you are solidifying some depth, you're adding some scoring, you have an opportunity to close that gap. And so, like, they've taken a step into another echelon. The Oilers, I like what they did. Like, I think that Ekholm is a much better fit than Barry in terms of what they need. Like, he gives them a little bit more defensive responsibility. He moves the puck well, especially that first pass. Like, those zone exits will be a little bit cleaner. Like, I think that he systematically fits what they need more. The contract may be a little bit of a concern down the road, but it doesn't matter because you got to capitalize on the year that Connor McDavid is having this year. I think they're in a better position to do that now, but, like, I still think that he's, like, Ekholm is not a fix-all for them, and I think Bukestad is a little bit overrated, but not a bad piece to add. I don't think that they're, like, up to the Avs, like, at a fully healthy level. I wouldn't put them above them, but I think that the Oilers did some nice work to put them closer in a wide open Western Conference.
I just don't believe in Jack Campbell. I don't think they're going to do it.
I think that it's better than Mike Smith is what I'll say. Like, Mike Smith is, for as entertaining as that guy was, for better and for worse, probably not winning a Stanley Cup with Mike Smith. So
yeah,
Jack Campbell, if he hits, goaltending is so unpredictable. If he hits a hot streak at the right time, you might be in good hands.
Well, I bet the Oilers to win the division, so I'm hoping they can figure it out. They're only like 4 points back right now as we're recording. But I want to do like a little quick segment, kind of. I don't have a name for it or anything. It's just like off the top of my head. But when we're comparing two teams, pressure to win Stanley Cups, a comparison I always talk about or always hear about as well that I've, you know, talked to guests about is Oilers and Maple Leafs. A lot of pressure on the Maple Leafs as a team to win a cup. A lot of pressure on McDavid and Draisaitl as players to win a cup. Which team do you think has more pressure to get it done right now?
Well, that's a really good question, because I think that you can look at it from two perspectives where the Maple Leafs, if they don't win a cup this year, which what a shock.
Or a round even. Yeah,
like, yeah, right. But yeah. If they didn't win a cup this year, if they didn't win a round, you could at least say, well, the East was like monstrous this year. If they go to 7 games with the Lightning in the first round and lose, you're like, all right, the jokes are going to write themselves, but yeah. Also they lost to a pretty good team. On the other side, the Oilers are, again, the Western Conference is wide open. All the pieces have moved to the Eastern Conference. It's the Avs, the Oilers, and then like everybody else, I think, at this point. So if they chunk it, it's probably on them. And I also think that you can say Toronto has more pressure on them because when you look at like a roster building,
yeah, windows shutting,
and like they have a good team. They have like one of the best teams that they've had in decades in Toronto, like maybe like ever. Like, this Toronto team is awesome, and they have a really good opportunity to make a run. They just haven't been able to do it with these guys at all. And if you continue to lose with those guys, how many excuses can you make year over year? At some point, you got to say, well, something's missing with these guys that are in the room. So I think that there's a lot of pressure in terms of like them just having a better team. When I look at Edmonton, if they lose in the playoffs, I say, well, Ken Holland kind of tripped up over himself building this team. They still have like holes. They could have made a much deeper run and, you know, done it in years past if Ken Holland was better at building that team.
I'm going to ask you a very similar question, but now I'm going to phrase it around the Bruins and the Rangers, since you're a Boston guy. I'm a New York guy. You know, a lot of people, and especially the Boston people, and I know I have New York bias. I'm sure you hear the Bruins bias. Everyone thinks the Bruins have been so fucking successful for the last decade because they've been to 3 Stanley Cup finals. They've only won one of them, but they've been there and they've had playoff success. So do you think with this team right now, they're, you know, on pace to set a record for most wins in NHL history? Linus Ullmark's been incredible. I think he's locked up the Vezina for sure. Anyone who says otherwise, I think you're just dead ass wrong. Do you think there's more pressure on this Bruins team to get it done because, you know, Bergeron, Marchand, their windows are kind of coming to an end here? Or is there more pressure on the Rangers that they put all their chips in the middle of the table, got King, got Tarasenko, and Ranger fans are like, if it's not now, then it's never going to fucking happen. So what do you think about that one? Because that's a tough cookie too.
I mean, we're coming from different ends here, but yeah. for me, like, the Bruins have all the pressure in the world on them because mm-hmm. they've been the best team in the league from day one of the regular season, which was unexpected to begin with. They have also pushed essentially all of their chips in at the deadline with not mm-hmm. only Orlov and Hathaway, but then going out and getting Tyler Bertuzzi as insurance for Taylor Hall down the stretch.
Bobby Orlov.
I mean, he's been unbelievable. He's been unbelievable in his first three games. So, like, the Bruins have a much tighter window than I think that the Rangers do. Like, you don't even know if you have a year beyond this one with Bergeron and Krejci. So, like you said, they've only won one Stanley Cup with that core, even though they've been to three. They've been propped up as like one of the most consistent and competitive organizations in the NHL for the past decade plus. I think that you really want another Stanley Cup to show for that, especially in a year where you've had a historic regular season, because I think it not only stings to not win a cup with this closing window, it stings when you've got the regular season success to back it up. And then it kind of looks like you fell flat on your face if you don't win a cup after that.
I actually happen to agree with that too. I do think there's more pressure on the Bruins, especially when you add in this pressure of, you know, what is it, 9 straight years since the President's Trophy winner has won a Stanley Cup, which was the Blackhawks in 2013. So I think there's definitely more pressure on Boston, you know, and this is coming from a Ranger fan who I'm sure 99% of the people listening to this right now, like, disagree with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you can say like the Rangers had to go out and make their big splashes and push all their chips in because they wanted to be able to keep up with a Boston and even like a Carolina and some of these other teams like Toronto and Tampa. Like they if you want to take yourself seriously, which the Rangers do, they need to go out and be aggressive. Mm-hmm. The Bruins, like, they were top dogs, and then they were aggressive on top of that, which adds more pressure.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I mean, it is a nice breath of fresh air, though, that they signed Pasta that long extension, because had they not,
weighed off my chest.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see how that played out.
Not that there was ever like a state of pure panic around here with that, because the front office, for their shortcomings, they've always been really good at retaining talent and retaining it in a very palatable way in terms of the extensions and those numbers. So there was always some faith that they were going to get the job done with Pasternak, especially with the window coming to a close. Like, you need to keep good players that are younger to extend that window and to be competitive moving forward. So glad they got it done. Glad that cloud is not no longer hanging over this team.
Also, not going to lie, like, I'd love to see that guy win the Stanley Cup. Like, Pasternak seems like the coolest fucking dude. Like, I'd love to hang out with him and have beers with him and just see him party with the cup. Like, if I had to pick, like, certain players that I want to see win, like, Pasta for me is a top three guy for sure.
Extremely good vibes. Extremely good vibes. Exactly. Like, a good dude. Like, very nice. Obviously, an unbelievable player. But also, I'm interested, you know, I want to see him in a Stanley Cup celebration, like in the week, not necessarily just skating around the cup, but the week after he win the cup. Like, I want to see what kind of situations he gets into, what kind of photos and videos you get of the party and the celebration after the fact. I would also be curious to see like how Bergeron and Marchand look, and some of those older guys, where we've already seen them win a cup before. And like, we saw what Marchand did tearing up the town with Sagan. Mm-hmm. I wonder, like, if it's toned down a little bit more, or if they recognize that this is probably the last one and they really want to go for it. Like, you see the Capitals, where they waited so long to get theirs. Mm-hmm. And even though they were on the older side, they acted like children because it was true, and they knew, like, hey, we may never be here again, so we are going to milk this as much as we can. I'm curious about where that would land.
I'm taking the latter on that opinion.
I hope so.
I mean, you'd have to think, right? Like,
especially after losing two.
Yeah, they've waited so long for that, you know. Yeah. And, you know, McAvoy's another guy I'd love to see do it too. Like, you know, he's a great dude, and he'd be a fun time also. But sticking in the New York Boston theme, I was like arguing with some guy on Twitter last week just about like New York sports and why people want to play for the Rangers over the Islanders and just the overall draw to playing hockey in New York City. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everyone talks about the passion of Boston fans, New York fans. I'm curious for you, because I think what separates New York and Boston is that we have like two teams in each sport to root for. And that's kind of what makes New York somewhat special, is that like there is hatred within its own state, which is crazy to think about. Like, do you think Boston could ever handle having two teams to root for, not only in hockey, but like other sports. And do you almost think that New York would be too much if there was only one team to root for, like in hockey, I guess, specifically?
Yeah, I would say definitely too much. Like, it's almost too much already. Where, like, somehow, like, the Islanders fans are obnoxious, even though they have, like, such a small fan base. Like, they're all diehards. Like, they have a smaller fan base, but they're all diehards, and they're all obnoxious. And sometimes, like, the inferiority complex comes out, and that can be wildly overwhelming. But, you know, I think it's too much for New York, just based off of how obnoxious New Yorkers are, to have them all in on one team. But in terms of Boston, it's too small. Like, it's too small of a city to have two teams. Like, unless you were going to split it up into like a New England contingent with whether it was like Hartford or
New Hampshire, even
Portland. Like Maine, something like that. You'd have to split it up a little bit. But no, I couldn't see two teams here. And I think that it would be entirely unpalatable for me as a Boston guy to have to like listen to sports radio compare the two teams all the time. That would drive me insane. It's already unbearable listening to Boston sports radio. So to have to like the dick measuring contest that would come with the two Boston teams would be just excruciating.
It's something that I never really thought about till last week. Just like thinking about if everyone in the city had one team to root for, like, I don't know if it'd be cooler or just like worse, because you know what, part of what makes, you know, being in New York so special is like hating your neighbor.
I mean, like, as a Boston fan too, like I find friendship in Mets fans who also hate the Yankees as much as I do. So like that, there's definitely camaraderie there for between Boston and New York in terms of shared hatred. I was curious though, like from an outside perspective, the Rangers seem to have like a lot of peripheral fans, where if things aren't going well, like they won't show up and they won't tune in. But like when the team is good, the Rangers get a ton of support. And like, it's not like fake support, but it's more like, okay, if this is worth investing my time in, I will be here and I'll be loud and I'll be active in supporting this team. And I do wonder, is that because there are so many other teams to turn your attention to? Like, if they're just not worth investing in, there you can just pay attention otherwise.
Well, I also think to that point, New York City is like, you know, a place where you have so much to do. I almost like when you were talking about that just now, I was thinking like almost like a Broadway show. Like, everyone wants to see that up and coming popular show, you know. You know, I think of like Dear Evan Hansen was one of them that I wanted to see because everyone else was seeing it. It seemed like such a great show to go and spend 2 hours doing. And I think that's kind of what New York is. And the better the Rangers do, the more celebrities come out. And like, that's really cool. You know, seeing Jalen Brunson walk into the Garden wearing a Patrick Kane jersey on Kane Day was like, you know, the sickest thing ever. Like, that was such a cool crossover.
I did see, I don't know if you caught this, but Annie Murphy was at the game and they showed her at the end of the game, and like they put the camera on her, but unfortunately when they put the camera on her, she was getting up to leave the game with like three or four minutes left. That's hilarious. Kind of incredible. I was like, oh no, that's, she literally picked the exact wrong time to be like, hey, look, Annie Murphy's and she's gone.
And she's gone. Yeah, that's good. That is true. But you know what I mean though? I think it is just like, you know,
you're trying to think of for people's interests.
Yeah, for sure. Like, sense. There's so much to do here. But I also just want to go into the East. Great question, by the way. Also want to go into the Eastern Conference as a whole. You know, this is the craziest, I think, playoff race I've ever seen. Like, you know, I've been pretty high on Buffalo sneaking in, but now there's six other teams that are in the hunt with them. Like, not that they were, you know, one of the leaders for their wild card position like a month ago, but you really felt they were starting to turn the corner. But now Ottawa's playing well. Detroit somewhat added James Van Riemsdyk and got rid of him and didn't accept that. But they're trying to push as well. I mean, how do you think this thing shakes up? Because even if the Bruins don't win the cup, the Rangers don't win the cup, for me, I'm not like so disappointed just because of how good everyone is. You know, it doesn't seem like it's going to be so heartbreaking. You know, I don't know.
I'm not going to say that I won't be disappointed, because I will be. But
Well, you know what I mean.
I think in a bigger picture, everybody's going to be looking at the Eastern Conference bracket and saying, like, regardless of who comes out of here, it is going to be all-out war to the Eastern Conference final. And whoever comes out of this is going to be deserving and probably going to be beat to shit, because it is going to be crazy. And I just hope that that side of the bracket lives up to the hype because of the arms race and because of like the fact that the probably like this top five or six teams in the league are coming out of the Eastern Conference. You want to see a really strong playoff stretch. But like on the flip side, like because the West is weaker and pretty wide open, like that side of the bracket could be interesting too, just in terms of like there's not a ton of separation behind Colorado. Dallas has started to fall off a little bit. Like Edmonton, I'm assuming if they finish strong, like they'll be in the mix near the top. And so like there's a lot to look forward to in terms of the playoff on both sides, even with the discrepancy in how good the conferences are.
And, you know, as far as the Eastern Conference goes to that point, which battle would you want to see most?
In terms of like what round, like are we talking?
It could be like
we
literally
basically know like the first round matchups with the exception of the wild card. So, I mean,
like for me personally, I'm dying to see a Ranger Maple Leaf conference final.
Well, I was gonna say even Rangers Devils, man, in the first round. Come on, like
I don't want that, it in the first round.
I want it in the first round. I want Leafs Tampa in the first round. Like this is the first year in a long time where like 1 through 8 will be the same as the way that the division formats are structured. So really looking forward to that. I mean, the Bruins versus Carolina again, it would be interesting. Like Bruins versus anybody in my mind.
Is there a team that scares you most in the East?
Probably Carolina and Toronto. Like saying that Toronto scares me is funny, but like, like I said, they've got a really good team. And Carolina, I was surprised that they didn't do more at the deadline because I think that they could have certainly used a little bit more down the middle, and they've had issue finishing for a large chunk of the season. They've turned it on as of late, but like they're still a really good team. And if they get goaltending, they're as dangerous as anybody in the Eastern Conference. So like they scare me. Toronto scares me. Even I think the Devils, if they put it all together and they get goaltending, so they scare me too.
I think the Devils like are the team that I fear the most. And I don't know if it's just the rivalry here or whatever, but I think they're definitely...
Well, you wouldn't hear the end of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm
like.
Afraid
the Devils
of.
Beat the Bruins, and like, and nobody's really. I'm not really like. There's no trump card there. Yeah. It's just like, wow, okay, they lost to a good team, but I mean, Timo Meier going to that team is as good of a midseason acquisition as I can remember in a long time. Just because like he fits so well. The mold of what they need and like what they already have so well. And his offensive skill set is insane. He's dying. I know that like people know that he's really good, but I'd be surprised, or I think that he's still somewhat underrated in terms of like, he's close to an elite player.
And people on the East Coast don't really see him a lot because he's playing out in San Jose. So it's going to be, you know, a big shock for East Coast hockey fans. That's for sure. And, you know, before we do let you go here, got a couple more if that's okay.
Yeah.
But
all for it.
I love the way your brain operates. I feel like you have, you know, some ideas that you'd love to change in the NHL, either playoffs, you know, all-star game, division, whatever you want to call it. What is brewing in Pete Blackburn's mind as far as shaking up the NHL and making it a little more fun, a little more exciting?
I don't know if it's a little more fun, a little more exciting, but like there's two things that have been on the top of my mind for a long time is the number one, get rid of the 3-2-1 point structure.
Okay.
It should be, or I guess 2-1.
We're not, structure.
It should be the 3-2-1 point structure. Like there should not be overtime loss should not be half a win in any situation. Like it should be 3-2-1. Take away that point from the winning in regulation, incentivize winning in regulation, and have like, and I know that the way that they do it now promotes parity and keeps things closer, but it's fake parity, right? Because you reward teams for winning in regulation versus overtime. So that's number one for me. Number two, 1 through 8 playoff structure. And I would love to see them reseed the Final Four like they did in the COVID year. Open up like the possibility of Stanley Cup final matchups between Eastern Conference rivals, Western Conference rivals. That would be sick. I know like
that's the first I've ever heard of that, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was awesome. Like the possibility of a Bruins Canadiens Stanley Cup final during that COVID bubble was so intriguing to me. And I think that'd be amazing. I know it opens up problems logistically where, like, if you have two Western Conference teams, like, say, God forbid, you have like Vegas and the Kings or something in a
what
final.
Time do you start the game?
What time do you start the game? Does anybody on the East Coast care? And like that could present an issue. But I don't know, from an entertainment standpoint and from a fan standpoint, that'd be so much fun. And then I did see my guy Chris Kramer, who runs I want to say sportslogos.net. Like, he's a big Jersey guy, covers Jersey news. He proposed the idea of treating the end of overtime in the NHL like a delayed penalty. So, like, say your team has possession in the dying seconds in the offensive zone, and the clock hits zero. The whistle isn't blown and the play isn't dead until either possession changes hands or a goal is scored. So you basically have like a running, like, it's like how soccer does stoppage time. I think that would lead to some really exciting finishes in overtime and cut down on how many games go to shootouts even further. So
that would be very
interesting to me,
especially, you know, 4-on-3 power play to wind down the overtime too. Like think about how desperate that penalty kill is going to be.
Yeah. Like it would lead to some crazy moments.
Yeah. No, I love that idea. That's a really good idea. I mean, my overtime change would be, you know, the 5-minute 3-on-3, then go to 2-on-2 and then 1-on-1. Like, I think that's,
you wouldn't start with like 4-on-4. Cause I've seen people say that, where like, make it 10 minutes, start 4-on-4.
And that's just too much hockey. If it gets to, you know, you're going to kill these guys.
Like, you're not wrong. You know? But the number of games that would go to shootout would cut down even more. Yeah. And I want to see that.
I still do think, like, I'm not one to like get rid of the shootout. Like, I still do think there is, you know, a place for it in hockey. Like, it doesn't need to be all the time. And I think, you know, I haven't actually asked a goalie about it, but I'm curious what goalies would say, because that's like their moment to have the game winning save and like do the celly and that kind of stuff, you know? So I'm curious to get a goalie opinion on that.
Yeah. Same. And especially when it comes to like Kuznetsov kind of goals, where it's like, it's not really a hockey play. Like, it's an exceptional display of talent and stick handling. But how often as a goalie are you used to seeing a guy come in at like 1 mile per hour and dangle you 9,000 times? Like, it's a torture chamber for a goalie. Mm-hmm. And so I would be curious to hear like what they think about that kind. And like, if you're going to keep the shootout, do you make changes? Like, do you put a shot clock on it? Do you have, I know people have proposed like defensive chasers who start at the other end of the ice and I don't think the NHL would ever do that, just because of like, the injury risk of a guy bombing down the ice. They cut down on icing so that wouldn't happen. So I don't know. I think there are changes to be made. I don't know where exactly they are, though.
Mm. No, I think there's definitely a lot of room to improve that or make that a little bit more exciting. But 3-on-3 has definitely been like the best change to hockey in recent history. Awesome. It's so fun. But before I do let you go, I do want to allow you to plug your stuff and then give me your prediction for Rangers Bruins Saturday, even though this is coming out on Monday, but it'll be fun to listen back and see your thought.
All right. I do my writing and TV for Bally Sports. So ballysports.com. And then like, if you live in any of the probably not appealing to many people here with New York and MSG, but like, if you live in a Bally Sports regional network, you can find my stuff on those channels.
I think we have some Oklahoma listeners.
There you go. Yeah. So there you go.
Valley there.
Yeah. Definitely a big contingent of hockey fans in Oklahoma. like Bally Sports. And then my podcast is Listen to Brunch if you're into movies. So the Oscars coming up this week when this comes out. So we've covered all the best pictures and do big Oscars coverage. So Listen to Brunch is a podcast.
What's the best bet for the Oscars?
The best bet for the Oscars, in terms of odds, are you talking about in terms of odds, or are you talking about like a lock?
Anything.
A lock, I think, is
I'll open FanDuel right now and do it.
A lock right now is Kiwi Kwan as best supporting actor in for Everything Everywhere All at Once. That's probably like the biggest absolute certainty is he's gonna win.
Well, this is getting clipped if he doesn't, so
okay, fair enough. And then what was the other question beyond that?
Just Rangers Bruins Saturday.
Oh, right. Bruins are going to win. They're going to score like 7 goals because the Rangers defense still sinks.
I mean, yeah, they're playing with a men's league roster with the amount of guys. So, it is what it is. But as always, Pete, thanks for coming on. Definitely love to have you on again in the playoffs, especially at the Rangers and Bruins meet. That'll be a lot of fun. And I'd love to come to Boston and get my ass kicked. So
absolutely do it. And I'll do the same thing. I'll come to New York, get my ass kicked. I'm ready to go.
One for one. Love it. Thanks, Pete.
Home and home, baby.
Want to thank our boy Pete Blackburn once again. As you can tell from listening to that, Cody was not there.
I was not there.
I'll let Cody address that.
You know, life's busy. And life's very busy for me. I obviously love doing the show. Don't worry, everyone. I'm staying on the show. But, from time to time, I'm not going to be able to join the interviews. And I will join whenever I can. But I will always, always be here for our lovely intros, outros. And, you know, I'll try and get in our interviews as much as we can because love you guys. That being said, should we? And I did just say that being said, you're welcome.
No, you're good. Yeah.
And
catching it now.
Yeah, exactly. Should we go through this week's slate and then we can get into our draft?
Yeah, let's do it. There's not much this week, obviously, as most people know.
Three games. We got
not until Thursday, though.
Yeah, so we have off till Thursday. We have the Canadiens. And then on Saturday, we have the Sabres, which is a 5 p.m. game. And then we have a weird game against the Penguins on Sunday at 4 p.m. That's a weird time. But, I'll start with the Canadiens. If you want to talk about a must win, like this is it. you can't lose. You know, like this point in the season, every point matters. They got their bad losses out to, the Senators, Detroit, whatever. You're winning this game. And I think this needs to be a statement win. I'm going to go 4-1 Rangers. And I think Kane has his first goal.
I like that. I kind of think a similar vibe, definitely a must win. I'll give the Canadiens another goal though. I think it'll be like a 4-2, 5-2 Rangers win. And I also do like Kane scoring his first goal in that game. I know that's not really like adding anything different to what you said, but I think that's a good take. Obviously a must win, a lot of days to rest and recover and kind of, form a little bit of chemistry. So I do like that.
Yep, I agree. All right, next we have the Buffalo Sabres. Obviously, Johnny's been hot on them this year. They're a team pushing for the playoffs. I do think, again, the Rangers will cool off Tage Thompson and come out on top, but I think it's going to be a closer game. I'm going to go 3-2 Rangers in overtime.
So I think this is going to be a high scoring game. Buffalo has been one of the better offensive teams in the league this year. Mm-hmm. They've won 4 out of their last 6 right now, but obviously they have a couple games this week as well. I think this is going to be like a 6-4. They've been playing really well. I kind of like Buffalo to win 6-4.
Damn, dude, that's messed up.
Yeah, I think Buffalo takes this one.
All right. And last game, we have the Penguins. This one's going to be interesting because we're in Pittsburgh. It's a 4 p.m. game. Penguins haven't been playing great lately, but neither have we. It's away. See, this is the game I would bet is going to be a high-scoring game. I think
low-scoring.
I think you probably get Halak on Saturday against the Sabres, and I think they're going to want Igor on Sunday against the Penguins. Or maybe they'll avoid Igor just because they fucking do the Igor, but who knows? We did kick their ass though before, and I'm going to go 7-4 Rangers.
7-4?
A lot of that's goals,
aggressive.
Man.
All right, that's aggressive. Goals. I'm pretty much going the complete opposite. I'm saying 2-1 Rangers in overtime.
Overtime. All right. All right, that's it for this week's slate. Johnny, you want to kick off the draft?
Yes, I think we're going to do our favorite three-round draft of our favorite pizza places in New York, and not just the city, all over.
Why are we doing this draft?
Because I tried Linda's Tree for the first time today, and it is fucking amazing.
Yes, and we went back and forth on what's the best pizza, and we decided we'll let the fans speak.
And a lot of the fans thought you were a moron for liking Blended better than 51st Dates last week.
Actually, a lot of fans didn't as well, number one. And number two, I didn't say it's not a better movie.
You liked it
better. I said I like it better happier. As a rom-com. Yeah, happier. Yeah. It's way happier. You can't say it's not a happier movie. It is. I fucking laughed the whole time.
51st Dates is a happy ending, though.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
No, all right, let's go into the pizza. Okay. You want me to start or you want to start?
You could start since you got a name drop. So
well, I don't want to go to Linda's Tree as my number one.
No, you have to. You have
well,
to.
No,
you,
You it was probably like the best pizza.
You literally texted me and said, this is the best pizza I've ever had in my life. So you have to go number one.
All right. So I'll put Linda Street at one. It's in Brooklyn and Williamsburg. I live like 10 minutes away from it. I haven't been yet. I've been living here for like 6 months. I don't know why I haven't gone. Everyone
tell
talks
people
about
what
we
got.
I got this like six slice. It's called like the Linda Street. It's their most popular slice. It's burrata with prosciutto. It's fucking incredible. Then I got a slice with ricotta, sausage, and pepperoni. That was insane. And then I got like a fig and bacon jam slice, which is usually not up my alley, but it was recommended. So I got that one too. And all three were bomb. They were so good.
Yeah. Yeah. That does sound really good. And also I want you to know, because you texted me that this morning, we're getting pizza tonight. Cause now I need to have pizza. Yeah.
From where?
What?
From where?
We don't know yet. We'll figure it out after this, but all right, I'm going to go first. My favorite pizza place in the city. I absolutely love it. If you haven't had it, you got to try it. Emmy Squared. There's a whole bunch of locations in the city. It is so good. Their colony is unreal. They put like honey on it with like half meatballs. Dude, it's just chef's kiss. And to run it back, this is a tough one for me because I want to say the classic one.
Are you doing two?
Yeah, I'm running it back.
Okay.
I'm running it back. All right, you go.
No, go.
No, I don't want to go anymore. No, go.
Well, we've never done that.
Okay. You're right. Go.
I'm saying, no, I want you to go now. You have momentum.
Okay. I have momentum. All right. I'm purposely not going to say the one I think you're going to say so that you can say it now. All right. Number two, I'll go Ruby Rosa. It's an absolute classic. Delicious pizza. Love it. Mm-hmm. Johnny.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. My number two, which is like always been my number one until today when I tried Linda Street, and that's La Piazza on Long Island.
I thought we were only doing New York City.
No, I thought all of New York. Or should we just do the city?
Well, not only the city, but I thought we were doing like the five boroughs. But
I mean, we could do that.
You want to?
No, I'll stick to that. I'll go. Well, then in that case, then my second favorite is Prince Street Pizza.
Oh, Prince Street Pizza. Okay. Yeah, I thought you were going to say John's on Bleecker. So that's why I was giving you that.
Never had John's on Bleecker.
Dude, John's on Bleecker is fucking amazing. I've only had it once. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really good. So I'm just going to say John's on Bleecker so people don't kill me. But my unofficial third is going to be Patsy's Pizzeria because Patsy's is so, so good. I don't know if you ever tried it. Mm-hmm. There's, again, like four or five in the city. Dude, it is so good. It's great. So those are my three. Who's your third?
This is a toughie. I mean, like John's is always a good go-to drunk pizza. It's not one that I usually get like during the day. I love Finney.
Just say Artichoke and get it over with.
No, I like Finney a lot, which is right near me also. Finney, I don't know. They're like a sister owner of something.
Oh, really?
It's a good spot. There's a lot of good pizza.
John's and John's on Bleecker are the same owners. It's the same owners. It's just one's the Bleecker location and one's the other one where you probably went.
I might be thinking Joe's then, not John's.
Yeah, you're thinking Joe's. I'm thinking Joe's. Yeah.
But then, yeah, Finney's really good, and I love Roberta's. Have you been to Roberta's ever?
No, but you know what? You know, for the OGs in New York City, I'm going to say one last one. This is turning into a five-round draft, but the reason I'm saying this is because this place is no longer here. It's shut down, like right COVID-wise. Dude, Pizza Beach. Did you ever have Pizza Beach?
No. Oh, I did.
It was such a fun vibe, man. They'd have the music going in there, all their like specialty pies. Throwback to that place because I loved it there and their drinks were amazing.
I have had Pizza Beach. I actually went there was it near what's that rooftop? Maple Leaf? Was it near there?
Maybe. There were two. There was one on the Upper East Side and then there was one like downtown.
I feel like I went to get Pizza Beach in like the middle of a party I was at because I was starving and then I went back.
But they didn't do single slices. They did full pies.
Maybe not then.
But they were like personal pies.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no, a lot of good pizza. That's for sure.
Maybe they did a slice for the Johnny Lazarus, but who knows?
Maybe. But this was a fun draft. Love pizza. There's obviously a lot of good pizza around here, and I think that's gonna wrap it up for this episode. But before we do that, I think we're going to start trying to do two episodes a week. Obviously, Cody, we talked about your schedule. You might be able to make them here and there.
Yeah.
But
it'll be one or two from me. Definitely two from Johnny.
I think like a fan question episode, right? Like just strictly fan questions, like, maybe an interview here and there.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll do some fun stuff. You know, we love doing the interviews, but we want to be the podcast for the fans. So we definitely want to, you know, give you guys all the opportunities to, you know, get your voice heard and things of that nature. So we'll still do some good interviews. You know, we're still gonna have some good things lined up, but you know, we might do a second episode where it's just some fun stuff. We're just gonna get creative with it, and you know, Johnny's gonna lead point on that, and I'll join whenever I can, because like I said, I love you guys. So
it's gonna be starting this Thursday, and we actually have a guest lined up for it, so there should be a guest for that one. But yeah, we'll ask you guys for questions prior to Thursday night's game against Montreal, and it'll be a fun day to, or a fun way to start the game day, this Thursday. So stay tuned for that. But with that being said, send it off, Cody.
LFGR, baby.